Amen. Amen. Somebody needs us, Lord. Anybody here can say that? Am I the only one that needs the Lord? If you would, grab your Bibles or the Bible there in your pew. Today we go to the Gospel according to Luke, the 9th chapter, the 21st verse. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version and invite you to read along with me or just simply listen. I'm sorry, beginning with the 18th verse. Once when Jesus was praying alone with only the disciples near him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" They answered, "John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and so others the one of the ancient prophets has arisen." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "The Messiah of God." He sternly ordered and commanded them not to tell anyone, saying, "The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Then he said to them all, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. What does it profit them if they gain the whole world, but lose or forfeit themselves? Those who are ashamed of me and my words, of them the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory, and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." This is the word of God for us, the beloved kingdom of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me, please? Oh, Lord, in this moment, come by here. Come here with your presence, with your spirit, and fill this place. Fill our hearts and our minds to overflowing, to the point that we cannot think about anything but you, to the point that we are not distracted. Lift the burdens and the cares. Lift our to-do list. Raise up your cross and train our eyes upon it. Lord, humble me so that only you is seen, so that only your cross is seen. And give me your words and only your words. For I want you to be glorified and I want you to be praised. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. For we, your sons and daughters, long to hear your voice. And let the church say, amen. Last week we looked at our marching orders, or if you're a Trekkie, our prime objective. We looked at Christ's command. He spent his last moments on earth to tell us to do something, and that was to go and make disciples. In other words, he wants us to not sit here on our blessed assurances. And he wants us to actually leave here, to not hang around here, and to go. Please don't get up right now and go. Thank you. That would make me feel so insecure. Unless you're Tim. Tim, you can go, but that's okay. No, you know I love you, brother. Christ expects us to go and do something. We talked about to go and make disciples, and that was our prime objective. But today, I want to talk about what exactly a disciple is. For being a disciple is more than just being a member. It's more than having our name on a roll. For a member likes to have their name put on a list. And a member likes to come here and get fed. A member is all about me and what is done for me. A member likes to be comfortable. A member likes to have the church meet its needs. Oh, I'm going to step on some toes. You know, I get paid more if I step on your toes, right? It's in my contract. Anyway, a member is all about getting fed. What can the church do for me? A church that's concerned about membership is all about how many members do we have, not how many disciples we're sending out. A membership is all about kind of, you know, country club mentality, if you will. You know, how many programs do we have? In other words, the majority of our resources and our energy is focused inward. There's not a lot of self-denial going on. We're all about making ourselves happy. Happiness is overrated, if you ask me. And it's not very much in the gospel. I don't see where it says in Matthew 5, blessed are the happy. Do you? Because if you do, your Bible's a lot different than my Bible. In fact, members are not as committed. In fact, they'll show up one Sunday if the sermon is good and makes them feel good. And as soon as the preacher talks about something that's the least bit controversial or not within their perspective, they don't show up anymore. Amen. But a disciple is very different. A disciple is committed for life. A disciple goes much deeper. A disciple is willing to stay in the relationship no matter what. When it gets hard, a disciple stays. When Jesus asks something of you that you don't think you can do, a disciple still stays in that relationship. A disciple is more concerned about following Jesus than being popular in the world. And that's really, really difficult stuff, folks. That gets you in trouble. That gets you out of your comfort zone. That means you're going to have to make some hard decisions. And that might actually get some people mad at you. Sometimes obedience takes us to places that we would rather not go. But if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you're going to love Him with everything that is within you, forsaking all others, then that's being a committed follower of the Jesus Christ. The relationship to deny ourselves and take up our cross is difficult. But that's what we're called to do. That's what Jesus was talking about to His disciples. So how do we take up our cross? We could be here all day. This is a multi-session topic, but I just want to lift up three ways that we take up our cross every day. And it's all about relationships. The first way we take up our cross is being in that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Every relationship requires that we spend time with each other. If you have a relationship and you don't tend to it, what happens to that relationship? It gets fragile. And before long, that relationship dissolves itself. You got to tend to your relationship with Jesus Christ. And we do that many different ways. First way we do that is we pray. And part of prayer is when we just be quiet. We got to let Him talk too, you know. We can't do all the talking. And that's really hard for somebody like me. Because I just love to say, Jesus, here's my list. I need you to do this, 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 and this. And while you're at it, could you do that, that, and that? And oh, by the way, thank you, amen. Do y'all pray like that? Am I the only one that kind of does the shotgun approach? Sometimes we just got to be quiet and say, Lord, now it's your turn. You talk to me. And we got to talk to Jesus every day. And it's a pretty good idea to talk to Him throughout the day, too. But you got to tend to that relationship every day. Another way we bear our cross in our personal lives is we get to know His story. This is a love story, folks, this word. It's a story of a God who is trying to tell us how much God loves us and the lengths to which God has gone to show us God's love. God created out of love, and still creates today because God loves. And this word, this Bible, is a story of how we rebelled against that love over and over and over again. This is God's love letter to us. And if we want to find out about that love, we got to read it. And I don't mean just the parts that make us feel good. Those parts that challenge us. Those parts that make us quiver and shake in our boots. And not just for a little bit on Sunday. Every day, we need to be delving into this word. And this is hard to understand at times. And if you've got a translation that doesn't work for you, come talk to Mary Noble and I, and we'll suggest a translation that works for you. Help you to find one that sings to your ears. And not only do you need to be in personal Bible study, you need to be in corporate Bible study, in a group of other believers who help you walk through this. I went to a very fine and very expensive school of theology. Did they give me all the answers? No. And I was highly irritated at that for the money I spent to go there. And I'm still spending to have gone there. They didn't give me any answers. They just gave me more questions. But tools for how to study. And I realized I need other people to help me study this. So are you involved in a small group to help you study? And speaking of small groups, you need to be, we all need to be, not just you, but me as well, in small groups that hold me accountable to my faith journey. I've been involved in a covenant group for many years. Covenant group that loves me enough to tell me the truth about me, that I'm a really sin-sick sinner. But y'all didn't know that, did you? I'm a heathen. I've been telling y'all since Sunday 1 that I'm a heathen. I got testimonies that will confirm for you all what a heathen. But I need a group of people around me who will keep me faithful to the walk, who love me enough to tell the truth, and that I can share with them where I am and hold me accountable to those practices of cross-bearing in my life. We all need that. I've been hearing in the 4 small groups we've had so far how you love being in small groups. You love just sharing. That's a part of the walk of bearing the cross, is being in groups together. When was the last time you sat down and just reflected on your relationship with Jesus? You just took an inventory of how that relationship was going. Friends of mine use journaling as a part of their cross bearing. They sit down and they journal about their life and what they understand about Jesus. Other ways, maybe you need to have a spiritual guide or a spiritual friend that you talk with, that you just share your deepest thoughts about this journey of faith. Maybe you need to be in worship more often. I think we all should be in worship, because we need to come together and get around the throne of God and thank God for the many blessings that God has showered upon us. It's something about when we come into the house of God and we stand before the cross and proclaim the goodness and grace of God that deepens our souls and brings us on our knees, that helps us to bear the cross of Christ. How do you make room for the Holy Spirit in your life? That allows us to bear the cross daily into our lives. Another way that we bear the cross of Christ is that we become more like Jesus. And this is tough. It's through the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit that we become more like Jesus. If you look at his life, he was obedient, even when it was hard. In the books of Philippians, it says he was obedient even unto death on the cross. Now, sometimes when God calls me to do something, I go, yeah, God, that's a great idea. However, I have a suggestion. You ever do that? God, can I do it this way? And every time I say I'm going to do it this way, you know what happens? It fails. It fails miserably. Most time, God just wants me to say yes and go on and do it God's way. But God lets me run around And then when I finally get it through my thick skull, I come back, yes, Lord, it was probably better if I'd just done it the way you told me the first time. Obedience is one way in which we lift the cross of Christ up. A life of hospitality is bearing the cross that others can see that we're becoming more like Jesus. And hospitality is more than just saying hi and greeting people on the street. Hospitality is saying that I see you as a child of God and that you have sacred worth. And I'm going to do all that I can to help you realize that you are worth being loved, to make you feel comfortable, to make you feel safe and secure, to do all that I can to bring you to know my Savior. Being more like Christ is that we love maturely. In the Methodist understanding and theology, we call that sanctification, is that we love maturely. And loving maturely is that we learn to love without condition or respecting or expecting anything in return. We love because we love, because God first loved us, we love others. An immature love says, I'll love you as long as you give me something in return. But a mature love says, I love you, period, end of statement. We grow in grace, we grow in our discipleship when we learn to love. Even when we disagree, even when someone is as far opposite from us in our perspective, we still learn to love. And a third way in which we hold up the cross of Christ is that we join Christ wherever Christ leads us. We join Christ in his ministry. For some of us, that is visiting the sick and the shut-in. Some of us, as you all do, is to feed the hungry underneath the bridge on a Friday night, to go to the schools, to read with children, to go to Mountaintop, to be in ministry to others, to not hold back. Joining Jesus also means that we're generous. We're generous with our time. We're generous with our hearts. And dare I say, generous with our resources. Generous with how we manage our financial resources, and that we not only give, but we give sacrificially. That if we're not tithing, we're working toward tithing. Tithing is a spiritual barometer for us. For me, when I get paid, the first check I write is my 10%. Because God gives to me more than I deserve. It is my pleasure to give to God what God deserves. Amen? And as a church, we look at our budget and give to the ministries of Jesus Christ. But also, too, as we join Christ in ministry, we do it in a way to develop relationships with others. That's how we hold up the cross of Christ. We deny ourselves so that others can see Christ in us. In reading this week and getting prepared, there was a question that actually made me stop and go, ouch. And you may have heard this question. I know the leadership team has read the book, Shift. If our church dissolved and was no more, would this community notice? If Rehoboth just up and left the community, would the community notice? Would they be saddened? Would they be devastated that there was no more Rehoboth? Not for the fact that we have a barbecue or VBS. Would they be truly saddened that no more disciples were being made? Is it time for us to truly take seriously the call to lift our crosses so that Christ is made evident right here on Cajun's Bend Road? My prayer for us as we move into the new adventure that God is unfolding is that we impact our neighborhood by lifting our crosses, and that we go where Christ is leading us. Wherever He leads us, let us bear His cross so that the world is transformed. And you know, when we do that, a funny thing's going to happen along the way. We too are going to be transformed into the image of Christ. Amen? As we get ready for this next, for our last hymn, maybe you're feeling the stirrings of Christ. Maybe you're ready to make your heart a cross-shaped heart. Maybe you wandered. You've been too much a member, and you're ready to be a disciple. Maybe you need to recommit to a life of personal discipleship, of public discipleship. Maybe you just need to come and thank God that you are a disciple. The altar is open for whatever you need, whatever God's calling you to. It's okay to come and pray at the altar. The building will not fall down. I promise. Wherever Christ leads you, let us go forth with grace and faith.